the city of Toledo has now lifted a drinking water ban. The ban went into effect early Saturday after tests showed high levels of toxin in the city's drinking water. The toxin came from an algae bloom near the city's water intake. Mayor D. Michael Collins says city officials will take the next 48 hours to assess how the emergency was handled.
What did you do right? What did you do wrong? Where were your strengths? Where were your weaknesses? What were your opportunities and what were your threats?
Gary Fonensteel is a research scientist at the University of Michigan's Water Center. Gary, you have more than 35 years of experience working on algae in the Great Lakes. You've published scientific papers on these algae blooms. So help us understand what actually happened that led to this ban over the weekend.
Well, generally, I think what happened here is they had a large bloom of the algae Microcystis, which is really not uncommon for Western Lake Erie in the last 5 to 10 years. We had relatively large blooms in 2011, 2013, and now it looks like maybe this year. So that bloom happened. And the interesting thing about that bloom is that's a Microcystis, which is a cyanobacteria blue-green algae. And those blooms tend to form and concentrate up at the surface of the water, okay? And then we had a problem, and they do produce toxin, the toxin Microcystin, which is a hepatotoxin that affects liver functioning. So basically that happened, and like I said, that's not that surprising for Western Lake Erie, but what was very surprising for me, at least, in this thing is the fact that the toxins were found at the water intake after treatment, okay? Because typically what happens is the blooms are at the surface, and the water intake is down near the bottom. So in this case, there's 20 to 25 feet between that high algal toxin concentration area and the water intake. And usually that's enough that you don't get high toxin concentrations at the intake.
So, Gary, then what happened to make it so that these algae blooms somehow got into the drinking water?
I don't know. That's a good question, and that's one I'd certainly like to know because, like I said, maybe there was a different algae, maybe there was some wind event, because there's a lot of linking between the meteorology and the phosphorus and all these things for producing these type of events. I mean, it's think of it like this is a biological event, but think about the physical events that we know about, tornadoes, hurricanes, and the like. A whole bunch of factors have to all come together, such like the perfect storm, to get those events, and the same thing with this thing. Everything has got to kind of line up right, and I'm not really sure how it lined up to get it down there into the intake. Like I said, that's a surprise. Now, having low levels of toxins, not a surprise, but having it trigger the threshold. This is the first time I've heard this happening in the Great Lakes.
So it seems like this is a bit of a wake-up call that this happened, and is it likely that it could happen again?
Oh, and, well, I mean, I think the state of Ohio, I mean, these blooms, like I said, have been around for a while. I think we know about them, and maybe this can push us a little farther forward into the treatment and mitigation of these blooms. You know, I'd like to point out that, you know, I've done work not only in Western Lake Erie, but also Saginaw Bay and Green Bay, two other, let's say, hot spots for algal blooms in the Great Lakes. And the trends that we're seeing in Western Lake Erie, the trends of increasing harmful algal blooms, is not occurring in those two environments. So there is something unique or something particularly related to Western Lake Erie. So it's not like a panic everywhere, but certainly water quality people should be aware of the issue. And I think in general they are. I mean, I think this probably caught the public more as a surprise than I think the scientists or the water quality professionals working in the Great Lakes. This issue has been around for a little while.
So, Gary, what comes next? We're saying this could possibly happen again, but what should, say, the government be doing? What should residents, you know, be doing who rely on this water?
Well, there's a lot in that question. I think first you got to separate the drinking water issue from the blooms. Okay, the drinking water issues are pretty easier to deal with. I mean, the treatment people probably, and again, I don't know for sure because I'm not there, they probably just added a lot more activated carbon because it can remove the Microcystin, and I think they just will probably have a lot more on store to deal with this issue in the future. So I think they can do it. The other thing, like the city of Toledo can do, it could move its intake. I mean, its intake tends to be in that bloom hotspot area, and if they move north, like if you notice, the city of Monroe doesn't have a drinking water advisory, and they get their water from Western Lake Erie too. They're you know, located a few miles north of Toledo. So if they move closer north towards the Detroit River, they're going to get clear, better water, and so the chances happen again would decrease. So I think those are things they could do, and they're probably doing at least the activated carbon now. Now, when you talk about the blooms, it's a little bit more involved and it gets a little more complicated to decrease the blooms and eliminate the blooms, which I don't think you'll ever do, given Western Lake Erie and its nature.
Gary Fonensteel is a research scientist at the University of Michigan's Water Center. Gary, thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure.